Hello all and welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and today I invite you to stay tuned to the broadcast. The Word of God that the Lord has laid upon my heart today, I know will encourage you and bless your hearts. If you need a blessing, if you need an uplift, if you need instruction, stay tuned because God has a word for us today. Lord, I pray for all of my listeners today that you reach down and touch them in a special way. Lord, I know that there are people under sound of my voice that are not born again, that are not saved. God, I pray today you deal with them in your tender love and mercy, and let them know that the only way into you, God the Father, is through Jesus Christ our Savior. And I pray, Father, for those that need healing in their bodies, that right now as they hear this broadcast, that you'll reach down and heal them, for you're the God that healeth all of our diseases. And Lord, I pray for those who have children and grandchildren that are run away from home and that they don't know where they are. I pray, Lord, you bring them home safely, help them to be restored. We pray, God, for those that need financial help, God, that you'll help them. Those that need encouragement, encourage them this day, Lord. And we do lift up our country today, God, and ask, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, you bring revival to our land and help our leaders, help our country. And Lord, we thank you for hearing and answering prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Today, I want to talk about the topic of my message today is a little now or a whole lot later. My husband and I, we trucked across the country for 36 years with a tractor and trailer and converted our trailer into a mobile chapel for the truck drivers. And we went all over the United States all these years preaching the gospel to the truckers and keeping a church on the wheels. It took a lot of maintenance. And my husband was always one to believe in maintaining and keeping up. When something happened, he didn't let it go on. He took care of it right then, because he would always say, a little bit now or a whole lot later. If you let it go, it'll get worse. But if you take care of it when it first starts breaking, it'll save you a lot of heartache. And that is also true in the trucking industry and in taking care of your equipment. But it's true, also true in the spiritual. And that's what I want to talk about today. A little bit now or a whole lot later. My text today is going to be taken out of Exodus chapter 20, when God spoke to Moses the Ten Commandments. The basic foundation of any society has to fall back on the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. It's the moral fiber of a person, of a country. And once a country or an individual turns their back on these Ten Commandments, they begin to fall, and they begin to fall into a moral state that is ungodly. And they begin to do what is right in their own sight and not what's right in the sight of God. And that always leads to a nation's downfall and to a nation coming into captivity and falling under their enemies. The Bible tells us also in Exodus chapter 23, God told them, he said, if you'll keep my commandments and serve me, he said he would bless their bread, he would bless their water. He would, no one would be barren. They would have plenty of children. God would give them children. And he said also that your enemies would turn and run from you if you'll serve me. We're seeing the exact opposite in our land today. Our enemies are mocking and making fun of us. We are a barren people, not because we cannot have children, but because we murder our babies before they're even born. Our bread and our water is not what it should be, because we've not kept God's word. But God said in Exodus chapter 20, when he gave them the foundation of the Ten Commandments, and most of us know what they are, and I'll go into them in a little while, that if we would do that which is right, we could be blessed. You see, when you turn your back on God, you turn and reject his hand of mercy and protection over you. God does not give us these commandments just to rule over us, but to keep us safe, give us a good society, a strong society, and a land that we can live in peace. But when you reject them, then you reject God's blessings and mercy upon you. I would like to also remind you of this. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, God told Cain something. You remember the Bible about Cain and Abel, the two brothers. that came up. And God told Cain when his sacrifice had been rejected, he told him, he said, "Now, Cain, why is your countenance fallen? And why are you looking the way you are?" See, when Cain was corrected by God, he didn't receive it. He had a bad attitude about receiving God's word. I see people today that has a bad attitude about receiving God's word. But God told Cain something. He said, "Cain, sin lieth at your door. And if you don't take care of this matter now, this thing is going to rule over you." And we know that Cain did not heed the word of God, but the Bible says the next day he went out and talked to his brother Abel in the field, and he rose up and killed his brother Abel. Cain killed Abel, and from that day forward, Cain was marked with a mark and had to flee from the presence of other people and was considered to be a vagabond because of what he had done and rejected the thing that God told him to deal with. So many of you today are marked because you did not receive correction. You're in trouble today because you would not listen to instruction. People tried to warn you to stay out of trouble, but you didn't listen. And today you're marked. You're in trouble because of what you did, same as Cain was. But if he'd have dealt with that thing when it was first brought up to him, it would have saved him a lifetime of heartache and trouble. Amen to that. Also, I have to think about King David. And God had blessed him to make him king over Israel. The Bible says when it was time for them to go to battle, that this one time King David stayed back and was at ease in Jerusalem. And he went up on the housetop and looked over and saw another man's wife taking a bath. And he began to lust after her. And he brought this woman named Bathsheba into him. And he committed adultery with her. And she became pregnant with his child. And to cover up his sin, King David, what he did, called her husband in from the front lines and tried to get him to go into his wife, but he wouldn't do it while the armies of Israel was out fighting. But the Bible says that eventually that David made a plot and a plan to kill Bathsheba's husband. And that's exactly what he did. He lied, he lusted, he committed murder, and now he had to deal with a baby that was born out of wedlock, and then this child died. I've heard a lot of people say that I'm not hurting nobody but myself, but that's not what King David and Bathsheba's baby said. That baby, that child died because of the sin that had been committed. And from that day forward, and even when David had repented and David turned back to God and confessed his sin, and when you have sinned and done wrong, if you confess your sin, God will forgive you. But let me tell you, that opened the door in David's house, and from that day forth, David had nothing but trouble in his house. He had a son that raped his sister. Another son killed that son. And from that day forth, it was just one turmoil after another in David's house. And you know when it started? It started with that first look when he should have turned away and heeded. If he'd paid attention and took care of that one deed, then he wouldn't have had to pay a whole lot later. And that's what I'm telling you today. If you will take care of what's in your life now, it'll be a little bit now, or you're going to pay a whole lot later. And the Bible also told, God also told his people, he said, don't make any covenant with the enemy and don't worship their gods. Let me tell you, you can't get in bed with your enemies and you can't worship their gods. It's going to end in disaster if you do that. God warned his people then and he's warning us now. And it is also told to us, if you read Romans, the first chapter, that if we walk in unrighteousness, that God will put wrath, that the wrath of God will come upon those who walk in unrighteousness. So we know that it is a little bit now or a whole lot later. If you look at the condition of our country now, if we'd have took care of things when they first came up and made a stand against it, we wouldn't be dealing with this whole lot now. But let me tell you, people, it's not too late. It's time that we repent. It's time we take inventory of our own lives. For 2 Chronicles tells us that if we'll confess our sin, turn from our wicked ways, that God will hear from heaven and and heal our land, and God will prosper us once again if we'll seek the face of God. But in Exodus, starting with verse 4, chapter 20, God said, thou shalt make, starting with verse 3, he said, have no other gods before me. In other words, God was telling them that you can't serve many gods. And that's what we're seeing in our country today. Listen, you can't serve two masters. You will either hate one or love the other. You can't love God Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then serve another god Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then switch over again on Sunday. You got to make up your mind who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And let me tell you something. He is telling us that you've got to realize that God is the only God, and there is no other. There's a lot of big celebrities. They're teaching that there's many ways to God, but that's a lie hatched in hell. There is only one way to God the Father, and his name is Jesus. There is no other. That's the reason that the devil is trying to stamp out the name of Jesus. You can call on any other god in our country and without any repercussion now except the name of Jesus. Because you see, the devil don't want that name mentioned because there's power in the name of Jesus. And then he went on to say that you're not to make any graven image and to worship that. I live in a country today that our God today is material possessions. America is materialistic. Even now as I'm making this broadcast, which is now around Christmas time, people are thinking about Christmas and packages, and that's all well in its place. But we need to be thinking about the condition of our country and the threats that's being made on our country and our very own livelihood. We're ignoring that. We're more interested in Facebook and cell phones and the computer and the internet more than we are seeking the face of God. I'm telling you people, you better wake up. You better serve God only. He is our only hope. We need to get back to church. We need to get on our knees and we need to pray. That is the only hope that we have in America, and that is the remedy of America today. We have to turn back to God. But he said, let me tell you, don't have any other gods but me. Don't make any graven image. Don't put nothing before God. You can't serve the things that you make with your own hands, child. That's not your God. Let me tell you, you need to wake up and realize what's going on in our land today. And then God told him that you had to have a day of worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There has to be a day. God made this earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. But today on Sunday, you cannot even tell the difference. On Sunday, nobody has respect for the day of worship. We have people today, you can't get them into the house of God. Just recently, I visited quite a few churches, and the handful of people that were in these beautiful churches, you have to beg people to come to the house of God. But then I see mega churches that are leaving out part of the gospel. They're filled to capacity. People are going in for entertainment more than they are worshiping God. But let me tell you, you better take time to worship God. You better take a day to honor him. I know you can take a few hours on Sunday morning to go to church and thank him for his blessings upon you and honor him and pray for your family and together in God's house and support God's house. There are a lot of churches today that are closing down their night services because they can't get anyone to come. That's a sad commentary in our church and in our life today. If ever there was a time that the church was open more and not less, let me tell you, you're going to pay a little bit now or a whole lot later. Let me tell you, when your children get out, you don't know where they are and you don't know what they're caught up in and you can't find them and they're caught up in drugs and they're drug off into places and you can't get them back. If you haven't put the word of God in them, there's not anything in there to draw out of. Even if they stray and you put the word in them, the Bible says they're going to come back to it. You better take your children to the house of God. You better teach your grandchildren the things of God, because it's a little bit now or it's going to be a whole lot later. I'm talking to a lot of people now. You wish you'd have done right. You wish you'd have done the things, but it's not too late. God will forgive you your sins, and he'll help you if you'll call on him. But we must honor him. We must not put anything before Him, and we must know there is no other God but the Lord God, Jehovah. And then it goes on to say that God told them, He said, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the on earth. I see programs on TV today. They're disrespectful to the parents, and they make them look like pure idiots, and they don't know what they're talking about. But the Word of God says you're to honor your father and mother, because if you don't, it'll cut your lifespan short. You see, if you don't honor your father and mother, you can't honor God. And if you can't honor God, you're not going to respect any type of authority. You're not going to be respect the teachers. You're not going to respect policemen. You're going to end up in a place that you shouldn't end up. It's going to be a little bit now or a whole lot later. You need to honor your parents. You need to respect them. The Bible says in 1 Samuel that rebellion is as witchcraft, and adultery as stubbornness is the same thing. If you're stubborn and rebellious, you're going to bring trouble in your life, and it's going to cost you all the days of your life when you've been disrespectful. But He tells us to honor our father and mother, honor them and respect them. And then the Word of God tells us in Exodus chapter 20 that you shall not kill. And that means to commit murder. And murder begins with hate and unforgiveness in your heart. When you harbor that in your heart, you're going to do things that is ungodly. And you murder and you destroy innocent lives. It's one thing to defend our country. God expects us to do that. But it's another thing when you maliciously murder someone and take their life. Let me tell you, the Bible also tells us that when you hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. And that stems right back to a little bit now or a whole lot later. If you don't deal with that hatred in your heart, you just don't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'll go murder someone. It begins with hatred and malice in your heart. It begins with unforgiveness. And it begins to build and mount in your life. And the first thing you know, you've gone out and done things that you wish that you shouldn't have done. And then in chapter 20 of Exodus, God's foundation for man's living is that thou shalt not commit adultery. We live in a land today that doesn't even faze people anymore. Marriage is gone out of sight. It doesn't, it's not respected as it should be. We have people today that are living together. I don't care if it's your mom or your dad, your auntie or your uncle. I don't care who it is. If they're committing adultery, it is a sin against God. You know what? We tell people you should do this and you should do that, and that's right. We should correct them, but we need to also tell them it is a sin. It is a sin to have gods before Almighty God. It is a sin to worship idols. It is a sin not to honor the Sabbath day. It is a sin to disrespect your parents. It is a sin to murder, and it is a sin to commit adultery. When you're doing that, you're in sin, and you're sinning against God a little bit now or a whole lot later. There's a consequence to committing adultery. The Bible tells us that it is not only a sin against God, but it's a sin against your own body. And when you do that, you bring disease and sickness upon your own body a little bit now or a whole lot later. And then the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20 that it tells us that thou shalt not steal. If it's not yours, leave it alone. And we have people today that are looking for excuses to steal and anything to take that is what not rightfully theirs. The Bible tells us that it is a sin. And when we take God's name in vain, it also tells us in Exodus chapter 20 that we should not take the Lord God's His name in vain. A lot of people take God's name in vain in their language, but they also take it in vain in their living. We should not take God's name in vain, and we should not desecrate His holy name. God's name is holy, and when you respect Him, you're not going to take His name in vain. And then the Bible tells us this, that we shall not bear false witness against our neighbor. We seek to do damage against our neighbor. That is a sin. When you lie lie, that is a sin. When you steal, that is a sin. When you commit adultery, that is a sin. When you worship other gods, that is a sin. When you make graven images, that is a sin. When you take God's name in vain, that is a sin. Let me tell you, sin has its consequence. There are teachings today that you don't have to be sin conscious, but I'm telling you, when these things first show up in your life, if you'll deal with it right then, when God shows you that you're doing something wrong, and you stop right then and there, and you ask God to forgive you, and give you the grace and the help not to do it again, God will do that, and He'll wash away that sin. But if you don't deal with it, it'll mount one upon another and upon another, and the first thing you know, your heart's gotten harder, and like David, you're doing things you never would have thought that you'd have done. You're trying to cover up your sin, and you're bringing other people in it, but God is telling you right now, deal with it now, stop it now. If David had stopped it at the first glance, this thing went through his family. If Cain had listened to God when God warned him, the thing wouldn't have happened in his life. It's a little bit now, or it's going to be a whole lot later. And then the Bible tells us that we're not to covet our neighbor's house or his goods or his wife or anything that is our neighbor's. You see, when you begin to lust after what belongs to your neighbor, first thing you know, you're going to be doing things against them. King Ahab lusted after the vineyard of Naboth, and the first thing you know, they were plotting and they had him killed. Let me tell you something, you got to guard your heart. You got to guard your thoughts, and you got to keep your mind renewed by the reading of God's Word. There's no other way that you can walk in victory if you don't stay in God's Word and know God's Word for yourself. You can't take other people's word for it. You've got to get in the Word and study it for yourself and know it for yourself. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. But then in verse 8 it says the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers and the liars, they have their part in the lake of fire which burns forever and forever. I don't know about you, but I don't want no part of that. I think we need to deal with sin in our life now. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:28. But it also says in Romans 5:8 that God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is forgiveness of your sin. God will forgive you. He'll create in you a right spirit and a clean heart. But you must repent of your sin and turn from your way. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, will you receive that gift, which is eternal life in Jesus? He'll forgive you. He died on the cross that your sin could be forgiven. He took your place on Calvary. Let me tell you, the blood was shed. The precious blood of Jesus was shed, so our sins could be forgiven. And in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Today, if you will believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and you confess him, that God says that you can be saved, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to confess your sins. Let me tell you, God is merciful God. He's long-suffering that not any should perish, but they would all come to repentance. And don't mistake it. Withhold a judgment on your life as God overlooking your sin. He's not. He's just merciful and giving you a chance to repent. I'm talking to many people right now. You're doing things you know is a sin. You're doing things you know is wrong. You're planning right now to go out and say and do things that you know is wrong. You got to do the right thing, and the right thing is God's word. He said, if you'll do the right thing and you'll serve me and keep my word, he said, I'll bless you and I'll keep you. My hand will be upon you. But let me tell you, you go pay a little bit now or a whole lot later. So many people today, I go to churches all across the country and I see altars in the church, but when the altar call is given, I don't see anybody coming like should to repent of their sin. It's because of pride in your life. You can't say, I have sinned, I've done wrong. But let me tell you, it takes a big man or a big woman to say, I've sinned and I've done things wrong, and I'm asking God to forgive me. Because let me tell you, it's going to be a little bit now or a whole lot later. You see, because of the sin in your life, you're passing it on to your generation coming up behind you, because as you live, your children are going to live, and the things that you do is going to have consequence on your children's lives and how they're going to react to circumstances. Let me tell you, people, we need to repent today. That's something you don't hear anymore. You need to repent of your sin. You need to ask God to forgive you. You cannot have peace in your heart with an unrepentant heart. You cannot have peace in your soul unless you've asked Jesus into your heart. We have an advocate with the Father that when we sin and come short of the glory of God, we ask forgiveness, and he goes in and petitions, and our sins are forgiven, and it is as if it had never happened. God don't put us on probation, and God don't treat us as stepchildren. When we're forgiven, we're given a full pardon. Aren't you glad for that? But let me tell you something, a pardon is not a pardon unless a pardon is received. You got to receive Jesus today, and you got to ask him to come into your heart. And I'm begging you today, it's going to be a little bit now or a whole lot later. Take care of business. You know, we like to take care of our banking and take care of this, but you need to take care of your soul, because one day your soul is going to be required of you. And how you've lived your life here, how you've treated Jesus, is going to determine where you're going to spend eternity. You will live throughout eternity. It's either going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. But nobody can make that decision except you yourself. The decision is yours. Nobody can do it for you. Jesus loves you, and he wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to give you the abundant life. But you can only do that by asking and receiving. Will you do that today? The greatest gift that could ever be given is salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the greatest message that could ever be preached, that Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. No matter what you're caught up in, he can break that bondage out of your life, and he can restore you and give you hope. There's hope in Jesus. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone down, Jesus, the only time he looks down on you is when he reaches to pull you up. He doesn't condemn you. He said, I do not come to condemn you, but I come to give you life. But you condemn yourself when you reject him. Don't do that. Receive him today. God bless you, and I want to leave you with a thought again. It's going to be a little bit now or a whole lot later. I beg of you today to deal with the sin in your life. Confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and come unto him and have the abundant life and the peace that knowing that you're right with God. You need to get in church. You need to stay in the Word of God, and you need to pray daily. That's the key to growth. Get in church, hear the Word, pray daily, and stay in God's Word. God bless you today, and keep praying for me. And if you have a prayer request, write me, and I promise you that I'll pray over your prayer request. But stand with me as I preach the gospel. Let me hear from you. I want to hear from you. It encourages my heart. And visit me on my website, truckingforjesus.org. God bless you today. I pray that you have a marvelous day in Jesus. And again, I remind you, it's going to be a little bit now or a whole lot later. This day is serious. Take heed to how you're living and how you treat Jesus. God bless you today, and I pray you're getting up and getting getting ready to go into the house of God. Don't be lazy, don't be slothful, but get up and go to the house of God and worship your God this day. Jesus loves you, and the greatest message and the whole entire Bible can be summed up in 4 words. Jesus died for me. I'll leave you with that today. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in.